Hello and welcome to the eHotelier podcast, bringing you insights from hotel industry leaders around the world.
I'm your host, Matthew Stevens, and today we'll be discussing the changing distribution landscape with my guest, James Bishop from SiteMinder. James has an intimate understanding of the day-to-day challenges involved with managing and marketing a hotel business, having started out his career in UK hotels in 2002, before transitioning into the dynamic space of hotel technology. Today, James plays an instrumental role at the hotel industry's leading global guest acquisition platform, SiteMinder, fulfilling his passion for providing technology that empowers both hoteliers and technology innovators alike to find success online. James now works with SiteMinder's ever-expanding global partnerships portfolio to drive demand for hotels worldwide. Welcome, James.
Thanks, Matthew. Great to be here. Appreciate it.
You have a unique global perspective on the travel market through SiteMinder's activities. Perhaps you can start by outlining your view of the current state of travel around the world.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, it's in various states depending on what region we're talking about. And look, I'm sure we can get into it on a region by region level a little bit later on.
Yeah.
But much of it is, there's many regions which are recovering, and many regions which I would say are in flux. So, whereby they're kind of in that in-between phase where, we're not entirely sure when that demand's coming back and the occupancy is hovering up and down somewhere around the middle.
So what trends are you seeing in the distribution space? And is it consistent around the world, or are there peaks and troughs? Are countries recovering at different rates, or are they still in different phases?
Yeah, I mean, this is something we do spend quite a lot of time on. And each year, we release our data on the top channels per market. And this is the top 12 revenue producing distribution channels over the last 12 months. And we released this about a month ago for the 2020 data.
Right.
And there's a couple of trends that are consistent across many regions. One of which is the share of direct, which has increased greatly.
Yeah.
And it's important to say it's the share of direct. And look, much of this is down to the types of travelers that hotels have been able to welcome over the last 12 months. With so much of that period being under COVID restrictions, domestic leisure has played a much bigger role than previous years.
Mm.
And this is typical of the type booker for the majority of direct reservations.
Okay. And direct being direct to property through website predominantly?
Yeah, look, the data we're looking at is anything that comes through our platform. So I'm talking about direct through the web channel, through brand.com.
Yeah.
But look, I think overall it's good news. On one hand, saying, look, the share of direct is going up. So, theoretically, hoteliers are paying less per transaction.
Sure.
I think given the choice, a hotel would choose to have the 2019 levels of reservations as a whole during 2020 and the same share between direct and indirect. However, this isn't Disneyland, right? We have to live in the reality of the situation. And what we can do is take lessons from the experience that we had last year and ensure we're marketing correctly to the types of guests that are more inclined to book through the direct channel.
Mm, sure. And are you seeing any different trends in different regions in the world? Are there any regions recovering faster that we can learn from their lessons?
Yeah, absolutely. Look, regions will recover in line with restrictions on travel easing. Mm. So we've seen this last year in the Northern Hemisphere summer. As restrictions were eased, we started to travel. Domestically at first, but as travel corridors opened up, people were desperate to experience life outside of their country.
Yeah.
So in my own experience, as soon as we were able to get outdoors and we felt confident in being able to travel, myself and the family, we booked a two-week road trip all the way around the southwest of the UK, spending as much time as we could in hospitality businesses. Mm. The difference this year is that, in many places around the world, we have a vaccine program in place. So the expectation is that when restrictions are lifted this time, they should remain that way. And at least that's the hope. But right now in the UK, for example, we've got a fairly solid timeline for restrictions to lift.
Yeah.
And aligned to that, we've seen very positive booking patterns suggesting that we will see domestic travel in May and hope for European travel from June through to September. So there is more confidence due to the vaccine rollout being fairly well advanced in the UK. However, realistically, in order for us to travel freely, these vaccinations need to be catching up in every destination country too.
So there's a lot more reliability now that the vaccines are starting to roll out. Do you think that's, you know, we've heard the term revenge travel bandied around a bit. Is that pretty much what you're referring to? People have been cooped up for now for over a year. Now they're ready to travel, and now they're, you know, got a lot more confidence in the vaccines out. They're going to be booking more over the European or North American, Northern Hemisphere summer.
Yeah, whether it's, yes, we call it revenge travel or pent up demand, and you know it amounts to much of the same thing. Look, everybody wants to get that summer vacation, or you know there is delayed business travel. You know, it's just that you get that spike in transactions and reservations when, you know, the confidence is built in terms of the ability to travel. And, you know, is it going to give us the same level of transactions we saw 2019? In some regions, yes. In some regions, probably not. Because, you know, there's pent-up demand, but also you have to realize that, you know, there's a lot of economic strain across for travelers as well. So whilst, you know, some people have been able to save money through this period because we're not going out, we're not traveling, we're not filling our cars with fuel, and, you know, there's a lot of people who have, you know, got to tighten their belts as well. So, you know, it does depend on you in terms of the type of businesses or the type of hotels that are looking to benefit out of this. Is probably going to be those that are maybe the more affluent travelers is going to be more ready to travel than some of the more budget.
Sure. And what do you think that's going to do to rate? Do you think that more affluent travel is going to mean that, you know, rates are going to be fairly strong?
It could go either way, right? There's going to be the certain hotel that's thinking, look, I want to scrape up as much of the demand as I can and keep my rates low, whereas others are looking at the level of demand into their region and saying, look, we need to maximize on that as we would any other time, which means maybe their rates are going to increase slightly. Look, we're seeing different patterns across different regions. I mean, you look at the US, for example, has been trending above the global average since the start of 2021. It's currently, I think, at about 62% of bookings compared to 2019 levels. And as this market has always been very domestic for both leisure and business travel, we'd expect that trend to continue steadily with less fluctuation than last year. And rates should probably be aligned with the demand. Asia Pacific is going to be a very different story. Countries like Thailand, Indonesia, Singapore, Malaysia, they rely heavily on international travel and much of it long haul. So these regions have fluctuated wildly in the last year in terms of the reservation transactions. And I feel like recovery for them would be longer term, but that pent-up demand for the long-haul international travel will give it a boost as and when it can.
Is there a risk then that, you know, particularly in Asia and regions similar to Asia where there's a slower recovery, that there's a risk that hoteliers will try and leverage as much business as they possibly can by dropping rate, and that we might end up in rate wars in certain parts of the world?
Yeah, I mean, you couldn't rule it out. But, you know, there's just so many people involved in that in terms of, like, independent hotels and brands and how that's going to work. Then, I wouldn't be surprised to see that. I think I would always warn against it. Like we've seen in previous downturns that, you know, the RevPAR does take, you know, a couple of years longer to recover than occupancy. So you need to kind of stay true to your rate and keep your rate relevant to your brand. And again, if you talk about little pockets of demand or regions, if you look at somewhere like the Maldives, for example, that's very much an exception to the current rule.
So sure.
I think there's about 150 odd resorts that have, and it's been in the Maldives, and it's one of tourism success stories of the pandemic almost. So, I mean, due to the lack of restrictions and quarantine for the most part, I mean, booking volumes are locally are currently well above the 2019 levels, and it's becoming a real sort of refuge for those looking to escape.
So message for hoteliers, is it important to support the destination, to work together, to maintain rate, to wait and be patient for recovery? Because that recovering RevPAR is going to take a lot longer than staying true to the destination.
Yeah, I think the long-term outlook would be a lot brighter in that scenario than obviously hoteliers dropping their rates for a short-term hit on occupancy, which is going to damage profitability in the short term and the long term.
So, James, it sounds like you've got a whole heap of data on the trends in the market. How can hoteliers leverage this?
Yeah, very early on in the pandemic last year, I think in the middle of April, we actually put together the World Hotel Index, and you can find that on the siteminder.com website or just Google for SiteMinder World Hotel Index. And it's actually a free tool, a free utility that enables hoteliers or anyone in the industry to have a look at the reservation trends, where those reservations are coming from, what the volume of reservations and how they compare to last year. And after we've just updated it so that you can compare it to last year and to 2019 levels. So, it's a really great tool for hoteliers to understand their market and what those booking patterns are today. And I live and die in it most mornings.
Right. It's really important for hoteliers to continue forecasting and having a look back on historically where we were, and having that baseline to compare where we're going to must be invaluable.
Absolutely. Yeah. And more so, it actually tells you when those reservations in the market, so that to be able to compare your own data, your own hotel's data with the rest of the market.
Sure.
So, well, hang on a minute. The rest of the market's picking up in June, July, August, and I'm not seeing the same trends.
Yeah.
That's when you know that, potentially you've got something there to action.
So make sure to check out the World Hotel Index on siteminder.com as well. So, James, we've spoken about the direct trends. Are there any other trends in distribution that have caught your eye?
Absolutely, yeah. So if we look at the, the top 12 distribution channels we looked at, we witnessed the rise of Airbnb to fifth place globally. And considering like our partnership with Airbnb started 3 years, this is a fairly swift journey, just 3 years ago. And they're now featured in the top 12 in 9 out of the 12 regions that we reported on. It's a trend that started in 2019, which was obviously pre-pandemic when Airbnb started to feature in a handful of regions worldwide. But in 2020, the share really grew. And this can be attributed to their increase in supply, which they've had a laser focus on. But also the conditions of the market were just right for them. So staycation was a real buzzword in 2020, and the Airbnb brand is just well positioned to attract these types of travelers.
Right, particularly in that staycation, that domestic leisure business.
Correct, that's it. I mean, that's where they pretty much built their brand, and so those market conditions fell pretty right for them last year, and really helped not to accelerate, but for them to have a faster recovery than maybe a more traditional distribution channel.
And what trends, because I know you, your distribution supports Airbnb booking hotels. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's correct. Hotels or any sort of traditional accommodation.
Yeah. So are you seeing increasing bookings coming from Airbnb into hotels, providing business to hotels?
Yeah. Look, the majority of the hotel inventory on the SiteMinder platform is what we would call traditional accommodation. So whilst you know, from a distribution perspective, yes, we can work with vacation rental and what people perceive as being the key inventory on Airbnb. The vast majority of ours is a multi-unit accommodation. So whether that's, you know, apart hotels, service apartments, bed and breakfast is a really large element of that, that actually do really well on that Airbnb channel. Anything that's a bit unique and quirky.
Sure. Okay, so what area do hoteliers need to focus on in your experience so that they can operate effectively once travel's back?
So, I mean, the difference now in March, April this year to March, April last year is that we've got 12 months worth of data and learning to kind of lean on. So hoteliers do need to think back to what we experienced last April and May and implement their marketing and distribution strategies sooner in 2021. So we know what sort of guests we're going to see traveling first. We know where they're coming from. We know how they booked last year, and we have time and data to fall back on to plan it. So one of the key things is that hoteliers need to, and yeah, we say it a lot, hoteliers need to work on their direct strategy. I'm sure they wake up and think about it every day, but you know, with a slightly different lens. So understanding the types of guests that were staying with them at this point last year or through May, June, July last year, and making themselves and their brand present where these guests are booking. One of the things we've seen is a lot more hotels being present within within Meta Search and primarily Google, certainly from our hotels, which, you know, from a domestic leisure, we're all domestic leisure travelers at the moment, right? That's how we get our kicks. And so I know that how I book and how the majority of people start their journey is at Google. So, you know, hoteliers, you know, making sure that they are shifting their attention towards those areas where where their guests are, their types of guests that are likely to book and likely to be.
Great. Well, thanks very much for joining me today, James. It's always a pleasure to talk to you, and particularly for your insights at this really critical time when we've got recovery on the horizon this year. You can click in the overview to connect with James on LinkedIn. And to learn more about SiteMinder, you can visit siteminder.com. Thanks very much for joining us today, James.
Thanks for having me along.
Stay safe. Thanks again. Take care.
To build your own career or boost your team's performance from basic skills to executive training, visit academy.ehotelier.com. Get 20% off all courses and certifications using the code PODCAST. Thank you for joining us. Check out the latest episodes at ehotelier.com and make sure to subscribe for the latest insights from industry leaders around the world.